Liebe Zuschauerinnen, liebe Zuschauer, wir begrüßen Sie herzlich zu einer Lesung.
Dear listeners, warm greetings to a further reading from the unique work of Revelation. This is my word, Alpha and Omega, the Gospel of Jesus, the Christ revelation which true Christians the world over have come to know. Many people may very well ask themselves how it must have been back then when Jesus of Nazareth lived and what he really taught his disciples, if only we could have been there. Dear listeners, in today's time of radical change, we are in fact learning via the prophetic word how it really was back then and what the true teaching of Jesus of Nazareth was and is. The Spirit of the Christ of God, namely revealed to us himself through his teaching prophetess and emissary Gabriele, details of his life and work as Jesus of Nazareth. From the mostly unknown Gospel of Jesus, we will first read paragraph-wise, and then, through the word of revelation of Christ himself, we will learn what he explains, corrects, and deepens. In the second part of the chapter 76, we come today to the moment of the Last Supper which Jesus held with his disciples, and at which he taught them the prayer of unity. We read in the Gospel of Jesus how the Lord spoke this significant prayer to his disciples. Our Father, you who are above us and in us, hallowed be your name in the Trinity. Your kingdom come to all in wisdom, love, and justice. Your holy will be done always as in heaven, so on earth. Let us partake daily of your holy bread and the fruit of your living vine. As you forgive us our trespasses, may we forgive others who trespass against us. As we seek to guide others to perfection, perfect us in your Christ. Give us your goodness, that we may do the same to others. In the hour of trial, deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, in the beginning, now, and forever and ever. Amen.
Christus erklärt nun, berichtigt und vertieft das Wort.
Christ now explains, corrects, and deepens the word. Epochs have passed since my work as Jesus of Nazareth. Generations have come and gone. People have prayed at all times. The contents of many of their prayers were the same, but these prayers were said with other words, according to the respective generation of that time. Therefore, man should not attach too much importance to the earthly word, as it has taken on and can take on another meaning from epoch to epoch, from generation to generation. Therefore, strive to grasp the meaning and also to give it the right meaning. Through the inner word, through the incarnated part ray of divine wisdom, I gave to the people the prayer of unity as a prayer of thanks and love to God. It can be prayed according to its meaning. It also refers to the approach of the kingdom of God on earth and to my spiritual return. It became the prayer of the Christ friends. Our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed is your name. Our kingdom comes, your will is done, on earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us. You lead us in time of temptation, and deliver us from evil. For ours is the kingdom and the power and the glory from eternity to eternity.
We continue reading in the Gospel of Jesus. Then our Master took the holy bread and broke it, and also the fruit of the vine, and mingled it and blessed both. And he let a fragment of the bread fall into the cup and blessed the Holy Union. Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. The words, "and he let a fragment of the bread fall into the cup and blessed the Holy Union," show that the writer was influenced by thinking in terms of ceremonies. Recognize that everything is one in God. Nothing can exist without the other, because God is the substance and the power in everything. The result of this is the union with life. Likewise, the bread and wine are in God and come from God for man, and they cannot be separated. The earth is the provider, the mother of all human beings who receive from it through the Spirit of God. His Spirit flows throughout the earth and man and gives life to all being on earth. In the Gospel of Jesus, we now read the following. "Then he gave the bread, which he had blessed, to his disciples, saying, 'Eat, for this is my body, the body of the Christ, which is given to you for the salvation of the body and the soul.' Likewise, he gave them the fruit of the vine, which he had blessed, saying to them, 'Drink, for this is my blood, the blood of the Christ, which is shed for you and for many for the salvation of the soul and the body.' And when all had partaken, he said to them, 'Every time you gather in my name, make this offering in memory of me. Prepare the bread of eternal life and the wine of eternal salvation, and eat and drink of it with a pure heart, and you will receive the substance and the life of God, which dwells in me.'"
Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. Bread and wine served only as a symbol for the sacrifice of my life and my blood. However, you should not make a ceremony out of it, but remember me at all times in all your sensations, thoughts, words, and actions. Likewise, when you partake of the gifts of life that are given to you by God out of the bosom of Mother Earth, remember the eternal thankfulness, and remember my Redeemer deed as well. And if you do so with a sincere heart, not only your earthly body will receive the spiritual substance, the spiritual life, but also your soul. For in all that nature gives to mankind is the life, God, the spiritual substance, the power. We continue reading in the Gospel of Jesus. "And when they had sung a hymn of praise, Jesus stood up in the midst of his apostles, and they walked around him, who was their center, as in a solemn dance, and rejoiced in him. And then he went out to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Meanwhile, Judas Iscariot had gone to the house of Caiaphas, and said to him, 'Behold, he has celebrated the Passover meal within the gates with unleavened bread instead of lamb. I had bought a lamb, but he forbade that it be killed. See, the man from whom I bought it is witness.' And Caiaphas rent his clothes and said, 'Truly, this is no Passover according to the law of Moses. He has committed a deed which is worthy of death, for it is a grave transgression of the law. For what do we need further witnesses? Yes, even now two robbers have broken into the temple and stolen the book of the law. This is the result of his teaching. Let us tell the people who follow him what he has done, for they fear the authority of the law.'"
Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. The words, "and they walked round him, who was their center, as in a solemn dance," mean that my apostles and disciples moved close to me and around me. For in these moments, I was the center for them, because they felt the grief of my heart and became fearful for their own earthly life. Moses had to make some concessions to the Israelites, for like all beings and men, they had and have their free will from God to keep or disregard the laws of life. Despite the admonishments and indications of Moses that their thinking and acting did not comply with the will of God, many Israelites remained in sin. Many of them did not keep the laws of God, or only partly kept them. For this reason, too, they spent many years in the desert, because their customs did not comply with the will of God, and the life of many was like a desert. The thinking and living of many Israelites repeatedly revolved round the golden calf. They partly brought into the so-called Promised Land their wicked, egocentric behavior and their stubbornness against the fulfillment of the laws of God, and they turned the concessions of Moses into their laws, believing they had received them as such from God through Moses. The one who was against their customs in the temple and against their unlawful traditions, which God had allegedly revealed through Moses, was an enemy of what they considered right and just. It is similar in the present time. The one who denounces the behavior of the representatives of the church institutions is called unchristian by them. The one who does not believe in the dogmas and rites, just as it was with the Israelites in their customs and traditions, is ridiculed, scorned, and hated. Many representatives of the church institutions abuse my word, just as the Israelites have abused the word of God through Moses and the concessions of Moses. It was like this at all times. Whoever is not for the prevailing views and opinions of the people, that is, who does not think or believe as they do, is a betrayer in their eyes. At all times, the authorities have incited people against righteous men and women.
It says in the Gospel of Jesus, "And one who was standing by when Judas came out asked him, 'Do you think that they will kill him?' And Judas said, 'No, for he will work a miracle to deliver himself out of their hands.' When those in the synagogue in Capernaum rose up against him and brought him to the top of the hill in order to cast him down, did he not then pass safely through their midst? So will he surely escape them again and proclaim himself openly and establish the kingdom of which he has spoken." Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. By betraying me, Judas wanted to acquire pieces of silver dishonestly. Take heed, you people, that the same thing does not happen to you as to Judas. For in the almost 2,000 years since then, there were Judases who betrayed their master for a few pieces of silver again and again. The betrayal of the Christ of God is also apparent today to those who strive to fulfill the law of God. Many of today's scribes, Pharisees, and those who bear responsibility in church, in politics, and economy use my name for their personal concerns and advantages. This is taking the holy name in vain and is thus a sin against the Holy Spirit. Judas thought that I would evade capture just as I had done before in many situations. Again and again, those who were against me wanted to bind, stone, or cast me off the walls, yet I always went my way through them as if invisible, protected by the eternal power. But now, what had to happen did happen. Those who were against me could take me captive and deliver me to the high priest and have me crucified.
The Spirit of the Christ of God continues to reveal. Many people repeatedly asked and asked the question, why did Jesus escape so often from his persecutors and why not on that night? Today, I want to explain only essential aspects of what happened then, for it concerns the redemption which I brought to all souls and men. The part power of the primordial power, a part of my spiritual omnipresent heritage, was therefore released because the entire Jewish people had not accepted me, nor had it received, that is, fulfilled my teachings, the law of life. I took over a part of the guilt of the lineage of David and a part of the guilt of some other lineages. Shortly before my capture, I enveloped my pure spirit body with these energy-filled powers from the law of sowing and reaping. This envelopment made me visible and seizable to the darkness. Recognize that the lineage of David is the bridge to incarnation for those spirit beings who integrated themselves into the plan of God for the earth and came and come directly from the center of eternal being in order to lead back with me all that seemed lost. Since the time of David, they came again and again to pave the way for me and to prepare the fulfillment of the Redeemer plan, the plan of salvation. It was intended that in the earthly garment, these spirit beings from the lineage of David should first of all fulfill the laws themselves. Thus, they should have given the Jewish people an understanding of the laws of life and have been good examples to them, so that these too would fulfill the laws in order to recognize me, the Christ, when I came to them in Jesus. However, from incarnation to incarnation, many spirit beings in the earthly garment entangled themselves as human beings more and more. That is, they sinned and burdened their souls, so that because of sin, they no longer sensed what they had gone out for. Consequently, the incarnated spirit beings from other lineages who should have been active for the plan of God could not find support among the people from the lineage of David. In the course of my work as Jesus of Nazareth, I had to realize that the spirit beings, as human beings, Jews from the lineage of David, did not stand by me because their spirit bodies were too shadowed. Besides, I had to realize that the people talked about the laws of inner life but did not keep them and even used them to subjugate their neighbor. They were blinded by sin, just like the people from the lineage of David.
The Spirit of the Christ of God continues in his revelation. I knew that I must suffer for the sake of the work of redemption. I knew, and it was revealed to me in the exaltation, when the cherubim appeared to me in the spirit garment, that the spirit beings, who were people from the lineage of David and from other lineages in the earthly garment, should carry out with me the entire plan of God, the redemption and the founding and building of the kingdom of God on earth. I knew that the lineage of David stood in the first place for this, so that the sons and daughters of God could and can continue to incarnate again by way of the tribe of David, to then be active on earth as well for the plan of God. I enveloped myself above all with a part of the guilt of the lineage of David. And it was the guilt of those souls in the plan of God which had burdened themselves in previous incarnations to such an extent that they wouldn't have been able to work for the plan of God over many incarnations. By enveloping my spirit body with a part of this guilt, I became visible and vulnerable to the darkness. This is why they could capture me. I endured what then followed, the trial, the lashing, the way of the cross, on which I repeatedly fell down until the crucifixion, for the sake of the lineage of David, and also for all Jews, and ultimately for all people of all past, present, and future generations, until the kingdom of peace encompasses the earth.
Dear listeners, we read to you from the great work of Revelation, "This is my word, Alpha and Omega, the Gospel of Jesus, the Christ revelation which true Christians the world over have come to know." Thank you for being with us today, and we will be very glad to have you with us for a further reading. For today, we take our leave of you and wish you and all of us all the best.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye, and greetings in God.